Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, Numbers 1360 to 1419. MR Number 1415. Councils Concerning Sanitarium Work, Importance of Personal Holiness. Written August 26, 1907, at Sanitarium, California. During the past night, I have been unable to sleep. My mind has been deeply exercised, and I am now writing, though it is several hours before daylight. Yesterday afternoon, Dr. Rubel visited me, and we had a long interview. Dr. Rubel is secretary of the medical department of the General Conference, and is connected with the sanitarium at Tacoma Park. I spoke to him regarding the wages that should be paid to our ministers and physicians. There should be a more equitable adjustment in these matters. Dr. Rubel asked me concerning the relation that we should sustain toward private medical work and private sanitariums. I could not say that there should be a binding about of men who are working privately in unselfish lines, although I know that in some cases the question involves great perplexity. Much depends on how these private sanitariums are conducted. The Lord is not glorified by the work of the sanitarium that has been established in Boulder in rivalry to the original institution. The devising of this sanitarium and its working have been contrary to the will and way of the Lord. It was one of the strange results of unsanctified judgment. All who profess to be the children of God need now to realize that we are living in perilous times. The end of all things is near at hand. The signs are rapidly fulfilling, yet it would seem that but few realize that the day of the Lord is coming swiftly, silently, as a thief in the night. Many are saying, "Peace and safety," 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. Unless they are watching and waiting for their Lord, they will be taken as a snare, Ezekiel 12, verse 13, 17:20. We see and feel keenly the unbelief of some who have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, refusing to acknowledge the light because it has not coincided with their own ideas. My heart is pained as I see that many, and some even amongst our own people, are fulfilling the words written by Paul. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The time of this apostasy is here. Every conceivable effort will be made to throw doubt upon the positions that we have occupied for over half a century. The work that the Lord has laid upon me is held up to ridicule and scorn. But even in this I am in good company, for so did the Pharisees regard the Savior and His works. Some declare their unbelief in the work that the Lord has given me to do because, as they say, Mrs. E.G. White works no miracles. But those who look for miracles as a sign of divine guidance are in grave danger of deception. It is stated in the Word that the enemy will work through his agents who have departed from the faith, and they will seemingly work miracles, even to the bringing down of fire out of heaven in the sight of men. Revelation 13, verse 13, 14. By means of lying wonders, Satan would deceive, if possible, the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 24. Multitudes have heard me speak and have read my writings, but no one has ever heard me claim to work miracles. I have at times been called upon to pray for the sick, and the word of the Lord has been verified. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. James 5, verse 14, 15. Christ is the great miracle worker. To him be all the glory. He it is of whom John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1, verse 1 to 5, 10. If those who were exalted to heaven in point of privilege, and who should have been especially wise in spiritual discernment, failed to recognize in Christ the promised Messiah, shall we think it strange if his followers are not recognized by the world? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 12 to 14. We need the true discernment. He alone, who receives the Son of God as his Savior, stands on vantage ground. Many are in confusion because of their failure to receive the truth. Every soul in these days of terrible wickedness needs especially to search the Scriptures. The less they associate with the elements of unbelief, the safer will it be for those who desire a genuine experience in the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. As I realize the accountability of those who know the truth, I cannot sleep. I pray earnestly for the light of Jesus' countenance, that I may not become confused. I shall continue to use pen and voice in accordance with the Word of God. As representations are given to me, I shall endeavor faithfully to write them out. It is a terrible thing to be self-deceived, for many will, because of self-confidence and self-sufficiency, be eternally lost. Now, just now, is the time to wash our robes of character and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. We cannot afford to lose heaven. Awful will be the revelation to those who find that the books of heaven testify that they have permitted themselves to become Satan's helpers in deceiving other souls and causing them also to lose eternal life. Inexpressible sad is the picture of those whom others will charge with the loss of their souls. Eternal life was within their reach, but their deluded, proud hearts were not broken, and they refused to confess their sins. There are some in the Colorado Conference who need reconversion. I have seen their dangers. In the night seasons, I have been unable to sleep as I have contemplated the awful result of some who are pursuing a course under the intriguing of Satan. I have sent earnest warnings to some, but will they take heed? Or will my burden of soul for them be in vain? Matthew 11, verse 20 to 27, quoted. This is Bible truth, and of those who have clung to their own hereditary and cultivated tendencies, I can only say, they must have the converting power of God before they can be a blessing to others. Unless they are converted daily, they will have a continual warfare with self. They may plead for their own way, but their way is not always the right way. They must fall upon the rock and be broken. There is hope for them if they will heed the gracious invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., September 8, 1988. Entire letter.